This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hey everyone! Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season! My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
I have a very high expectation of what I've always thought this franchise is, and that was the best franchise in sports.
In the moments where we are down, as players, we got to execute. Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
This is 49ers Plus Minus.
Hey, everybody. Tim Kawakami here. We are 49ers Plus Minus with my co-host, Matt Barrows, fresh from the Stanford Pro Day, which probably not full of pros, but was attended by 49ers GM John Lynch, who always goes to Stanford Pro Day. I wonder why he would always go to Stanford Pro Day. And I hear there's a quarterback was standing around there who might have some prospects there, the general manager of the Stanford's, Andrew Luck. But Barrows, first time John Lynch spoke since free agency. It's certainly been a controversial time. Certainly been a lot of things said, some of them by you and me, by other people. 49er fandom, I'm sure, is fascinated by to hear what he might how he might explain all the exits and very little people incoming. I'll just still say it. Lost a lot of players, yeah. Many starters, and no starters incoming. Right? Still no starters incoming.
Well, it depends if they go two tight end sets. Then you got Luke Farrell.
There we go. Well, it would all based on
starting
him.
11. So, yeah.
It's all based on
a little asterisk next to that.
Well, you know what? I count special teams as starters. So, you know, we got like 7 starters with the special teamers. John Lynch, was he willing to talk? What did he say? What kind of points did he make?
Well, I should preface it by saying, you know, I'm going to talk at the owners' meeting. So, let's do this fairly quickly. So it was Cam Inman and me, and we had, probably about 6-7 minutes with him. I asked the question that I thought was the best one about this kind of free agent exodus is, why get rid of Malik Collins and Leonard Floyd? I mean, a couple of guys that you signed last year who played 17 games. This is on a team that had all sorts of injury issues in 2024. And these guys were the handful of guys that, you know, made it through the season. And then they did, you know, I think what was expected of them. I mean, at least their stat numbers were what they'd been before they were signed by the 49ers. So to me, those were the two kind of biggest puzzlers. And basically he answered it by saying, you know, last year we went all in because we thought we had a championship team. And we added some things that we probably normally wouldn't wouldn't do because we thought we had a championship team. And we knew that we were going to have to pay the piper at some point. And this is that point. This is the reset. You know, my takeaway to that is, I mean, if you're saying that about last season's team and you're absolutely going in the opposite direction this year, it's tantamount to saying that, yeah, we don't think we have a shot this year. I mean, we don't think that this is the championship team. And I know they don't think that exactly. And he talked about Christian McCaffrey looking really good right now. Trent Williams feeling very good right now. Two guys who were injured at the end of last season. You know, that speaks to their optimism about what the offense at least can do. But it's clear that they've got their work cut out for them on defense, and that the big additions are going to come in the draft. So you're going to have rookies playing in key spots on a team that may or may not have a legitimate shot at a Super Bowl title.
Yeah, and if the rookies get hurt, which they often do, then there's nobody behind them. That's the befuddling point to me. At least sign backups. At least sign depth, because they were down to the third stringers in how many different positions last season when they were going for it. That's when you're going for it and you had some depth. If you're not going for it, or you're trying to win, let's say they're trying to win 10 games and be a wild card team, or maybe you luck into the division, and I still think they could, but that's if everything goes perfectly. Then if that team gets destroyed by injuries, you're talking about the bottom falling out. So that's, and I understand, I'm not disagreeing with Lynch. We all know what this is. They're just saving cash. It's not cap. It is not cap. I keep saying it's not the cap. It's the cash. And he's saying it. John Lynch is not denying it. He's being, you know, as upfront as possible. This is a body language thing, you know, Barros. Just, do you sense that he's uncomfortable by this? Like, this is something that maybe crept up on he and Shanahan, or just something like he's wholeheartedly, yeah, this is what we're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't sense anything like that. I mean, it was sort of the same thing he said at the combine. So, I mean, it's something that, you know, they've been playing for months now. You know, I think that they are disappointed they lost Dre Greenlaw. I've heard that they made a pretty concerted effort. It might have been late in coming, and Greenlaw had a foot out the door. But that was the one, if you're kind of trying to figure out the one that really bothered them, that's probably the top one. And I don't know what the solution is there. I did ask about, I said, is Dee Winters the replacement for Dre Greenlaw? And he said, oh, yeah, he'll have a shot. I mean, we like Dee. He's going to be one of the guys that, you know, still a lot of time between now and the start of the season. I thought that that might be a hint that they could bring in somebody else. I mean, there are a few linebackers still out there. It's not a great draft for linebacker. So you might have three or four, and you've got all these teams. I mean, here, let's put it this way. Dre Greenlaw had a market, a real big market. I mean, at least nine teams at one point or another were trying to sign him. And it speaks to that position in the NFL. I don't think that there's a lot of talent at linebacker in the league. It speaks to Dre Greenlaw, and I think it speaks to the upcoming draft. So the teams are looking at the draft, and they're not seeing a lot of plausible players at that spot. So I'm sure the 49ers like a couple of guys, but I'm also sure that there are eight other teams that like those same guys, and they have all these other things. They've got the D tackle, they've got the DN, they've got to get an offensive tackle that, you know,
center maybe
against center. Them.
Yeah. How about a center?
Yeah.
That's one part I keep bringing up. It's, yeah, they're going to commit. They're going to hit these draft choices. That's what they're going to do. They are committing to the draft. Other teams are allowed to draft good players, too. In fact, they draft them probably more often than the 49ers do. And they've done well, but and last year's draft was good, but the last two before that were not. So, and guess, Dee Winters was a draft choice. Didn't quite work. Jalen Graham was a draft choice. Draft choices sometimes don't work. That's like, if you're committing everything to the draft, you don't have any like other options. You can trade for people, you can sign them for agency. That's how the NFL works. They've opted out of the other two, and they're just going to go with draft when every other team does three. You know, every other decent team is doing all three things. And on the Greenlaw thing, I think, you know, again, I'm not putting this on Lynch. He just happened to be the one talking today, so I don't want to say I'm putting it on Lynch, but there's another 49er thing. You wait and you wait and you wait before you bid for Greenlaw. when I bet you, if you, he probably said, here's the number it'll take for me not to hear, listen to anybody else. And then they let him go to the market and then they try to jump in late, theoretically. You could have got him for that number, probably, if they just offered it off the top. They're so intent on getting the best deal possible that they end up not getting a player that they really want to keep. That's a big problem throughout this season, I think, this free agency season. Juszczyk, they did that too. He didn't find the market. You know, how many teams needed a fullback, right? The team, right. Way more teams need a linebacker than need a fullback because there's only like five teams that use a fullback. So they got him back. He could have still said, to hell with you. He didn't. And at some point, he is going to say, to hell with you. But they couldn't replace him. They brought him back. I get it. He got more guaranteed money. But it's just this, you know, incredible, incredible desire to get the best deal possible, to get the most value. Well, in the NFL, you don't have an endless supply of players that you can replace at that talent level. And you lose out on seven of them. You're not just getting seven automatically that plug in are just as good. You're younger and cheaper, fine. Worse and cheaper also. Jeez, I should write that. It's a great theme for them this season. Again, I'm not pound this down on John Lynch. I'm sure that he would not have chosen this route. He is probably accepting of it. I assume he's accepting of it, but I'll just go. D Winters was a linebacker they drafted. If they draft D Winters part two, they're not better. They are not better. They're cheaper. They are not better. And this is problematic for everything that's happening right now. But I mean, how many starters do they need to pull out of this draft, Barrow? It's like six, five.
Well, I mean, let's go through them. You could make the argument that they need two defensive tackle starters because right now it's Kevin Givens and Jordan Elliott are your top two guys. Now, I think it'll be some combination of a rookie and one of those two guys. So Elliott is your big guy, and Givens is your penetrator. He's more of the three technique. So my whole thing has been that the 49ers need to find one of each of those, and there are a lot of them in this draft. So like Michigan had a nice combination with Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant. Grant is a huge 325, 330, and he can move. I think the 49ers would love him. I'm just saying they need to probably pair a rookie. They'll probably draft two rookies, but at least early in the season, I think you have to pair him with a veteran. It's just too much to ask two rookies to start in the middle of a defense.
And they rotate anyway. You know,
They rotate anyway. Yeah. And they'll end up playing together at some point. And then defensive end, right now you've got Ichiro Gross-Matos, which I think is fine for base downs, but you want somebody to put heat on the quarterback. So that could be a starter. I mean, if the Cardinals come out in three wide receiver formations in week one, that guy's probably starting. And then the weak side linebacker. That's Dre Greenlaw's position. I'm not exactly sure who's going to play that spot. I think the 49ers have a couple of guys that they like. I've heard they do, but as I just said, I think a lot of teams like those guys. So there you go. That's four.
Yep.
I don't think cornerback. I think they're probably okay there.
Need a nickel, I would think.
Well, Deommodore Lenore is your nickel.
And well, this guy, the guy who comes on as a third corner.
Yeah, Trey Brown is the guy from Seattle who's probably the leading candidate right now. I think that'll be another competition. They want to finally get something out of Darrell Luter, part of the lost class of 2023. Hasn't done much the last two seasons. And then on offense, I mean, they're probably going to have Ben Bartsch and who's the roommate of Brock Purdy, Nick Zakel, compete for the left guard spot. And then, you know, they could bring in a rookie running back for depth. They can bring in a wide receiver for depth. We can argue about whether they need a tight end or not. They seem to be signaling that they won't go in that direction. Everything that they've done in the last week, by the way, points very strongly to defensive line as the top pick.
Well, bringing Juszczyk back for sure, I think, was a signal that Tyler Warren probably won't be. Like, I could see them going, you know, okay, we lose Juszczyk. We just need a toy you know, a fullback, tight end, H-back, whatever Shanahan wants to do with him. But if you bring back Juszczyk and you're paying him $7 million, you're going to want him on the field, right? I mean, dollars are precious for the 49ers. You're giving this guy $7 million over the next two. He's got to be on the field. You would take him off the field for sure if you had Tyler Warren. So that was the only, I think, offensive thing. I don't think they're taking a tackle. So, yeah, defensive line. It's going to be defensive line, maybe for the first two, three picks. But you keep forgetting center, right? They do need a center, unless they're going with Jake Brendel.
Well, they brought in Matt Hennessy in December.
Yeah.
And they say they've always liked Hennessy. They didn't make any sort of move for the Vikings center, who is just – cut the other day, Bradbury, another guy that they liked in, yep, in whatever his draft was. I think he was 2019. I would not be surprised if they're going Brendel and Hennessy. Wow. Those are your centers.
Wow.
With Drake Nugent backing them up. I mean, it's not a great draft for centers. The one good center is probably going to be like a late 20s guy. So maybe if they traded back, he would be a possibility.
North Dakota State guy? Is that
Gray Zabel is his name.
And then I guess the right tackle is they go with McKivitz. They're not – they don't upgrade there?
Burford, yeah,
there maybe? I don't know. I mean,
they think McKivitz is the bee's knees. They love McKivitz. Mm-hmm. The question is who's the swing tackle? You know, mm-hmm, Jalen Moore just got paid a king's ransom. And I think their answer is – Spencer Burford, as you know, a possibility. Burford started doing a lot more tackle as the season wore on, and they got thinner and thinner at tackle. They were pretty good at guard with having Zakel and Ben Bartsch there. So Burford started playing more and more tackle. He was a college tackle, as I wrote today in the mailbag. He's actually a little bit more tackle-y than Jalen Moore and McKivitz were, just in terms of, you know, the parameters, size, length that teams like. So maybe they found something in Burford. They finally found a position for him. Did not work out at right guard with Spencer Burford. He got a lot of chances to win that spot and didn't. Kind of makes you skeptical whether he can master offensive tackle in the NFL, but he's going to get a shot.
Nothing says you can play tackle in the NFL like failing at guard. Nothing. This is classic thinking. You know, this is a position group that has been criticized and I think should have been, was not very good. And they're going to get worse. Trent Williams is 1 year older. The center does not look like, and maybe Hennessy I could see being possibly beating out Brendel, being a little bit better. But Aaron Banks was not a terrible left guard. Was not a great one, but not a terrible one. Pooney's just, you know, he's going to be better, but he's the same guy. And McKivitz, I don't think he's getting better. So, and it's going to be hard for them to upgrade there because you don't draft guys that they plug in normally other than Pooney. So they're going to be worse. I'm saying, right, they're going to be worse on the offensive line. It's hard to imagine them being better. So that's not a great start on an offensive line that wasn't great. I guess they got Mac Jones. They're way better there now because he's great, obviously. I find it hard not to ding them for like everything you mentioned. I'm trying not to. And again, they could sweep the draft and just hit on 11 guys. I don't think that's what the batting odds are. It's just not. It's you try to hit the draft and have everything else working right. That's what other teams are doing. That's what their rivals are doing. And I'll just go the Jordan Mason thing. And I mean, I know a lot of people say, you know, they were never going to pay $5 million for Jordan Mason. They didn't necessarily have to. They could have signed him for less if that, because someone would have had to sign him for the second round tender. Like, they did not have to trade him and someone else pay him. They could have negotiated this out all the way through and say, you're taking 3.5. Well, I don't understand people who don't see that. You didn't necessarily have to pay him $5 million. You just gave him away because you didn't want to think about it. And that was another guy who essentially was their main running back last year, right?
Well, he led the team in rushing. Yeah.
I mean, it's not even close. So, like, he's just a third running back. He was the number one running back last year because guys get hurt. This is the part that is just decision after decision after decision, and they're not all major. That's not going to break them if they don't have Jordan Mason, but they're not gaining anything other than a fifth round pick, which again, you can hit with a fifth round pick. You most often do not hit with a fifth round pick. It's like, oh yeah, they got something for him. They could have had the player. They could have had the player, and it's not that they had to pay him what the tender was. that was just to freeze another team from signing him. You could have said, we are not going to let you go. We're not. So you have to sign for 3.5. That's it. They could have said that. Maybe he would have been mad, but they could have done that. Am I wrong on that?
No, I mean, that was a possibility. I never thought it was going to happen because of Isaac Guerrero. I think that's the main thing. They got the cheap guy at number two.
Yeah, but who gets hurt? So.
Oh, he gets hurt all the time. Sure. And that's why I think they've got you also have this draft coming up. It's a good draft.
We're going to have to take two of them then, like they've done before, because you're never sure about one of them. So,
I think they'll draft one and then they'll sign. They're good at signing.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. They need one guy that they can give the ball to who's better than Patrick Taylor.
This is what's going to happen at running back. They're going to draft one in the third round, mm-hmm. and they're going to bring in a guy and sign him as an undrafted rookie. And that guy's going to be way better than the third rounder. And he's going to save the season at some point.
And then 3 years later, they're going to second round tender and they're going to let him go. This perfect scenario where every draft pick is healthy and all the guys you gave away were hurt and banged up, to me, it just fails the logic test, because those guys that you think are hurt and banged up used to be guys you were bringing in as rookies who are so great. Like, this is what happens to football players. They get banged up. And the sense that we can just go run the table, I just don't – it's not the way NFL works all the time. Maybe it did with the Rams, but the Rams also had, Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua and Matt Stafford. You know, they had some things. I know the 49ers are really great players, but – you don't want to lessen that if you don't have to. And they did not have to, other than to save money. If they're drafting defensive linemen in the first round, you think they go defensive linemen in the second round? Are there enough good ones to do that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that they'd want to compliment whoever they took. Like I said, if you go Kenneth Grant in round one, then you want to go with the penetrating guy. Mm-hmm. T.J. Sanders from South Carolina would be a good one. The guy I keep talking about, Darius Alexander from Toledo, would be good. There's probably more of those type guys than the big space eaters who can move are rare. There's probably like maybe three of those. But you could do it. I mean, if you got Mason Graham in the first round, you wouldn't want to get another Mason Graham type in the second round. You'd want to get the Ohio State defensive tackle, who's another, big-bodied guy.
Or an edge,
yeah. And then you got the two Ohio State guys just kind of sitting there. I don't know how far down the Texas A&M, not Shamar Stewart, but his teammate, is good. I don't know how far he'll drop, but I think the 49ers would like him. All those guys I just mentioned at D end are three down guys. I mean, they've got heft. They play the run well. They can rush the passer. So I think that's what they're looking for. The Mike Green, he's the one from Marshall who just, set the world on fire with all of his sacks, was a UVA commitment who was booted out of the university. I discussed that today with a UVA alum. But he's a lighter guy, like a 250-pound guy. And I think he would be – and maybe on a team where you've got – Ichir Gross-Matos taking some of the early down snaps, that's something that the 49ers would look for. But I don't think at number 11. I mean, it just doesn't compute to me that they would take a smaller guy. So I always have Mike Green and then James Pierce from Tennessee, both of whom are sort of more speed rushers, effective, but not the big kind of, three down guy. Ideally, you want somebody that can do a lot of the same things that Bosa does.
Hold the edge. Yep. Yeah.
Hold the edge and play the run. So there are those types of guys in this draft, certainly in rounds one and two.
Since we're not going to do another show, I am going on vacation for a little while. So we're not doing another show until I think after you guys talk to Shanahan and Lynch and maybe Jed at the owners' meetings, end of the month, beginning of April. And I know you only had a little bit of time with Lynch, but can someone ask you, Lynch and Shanahan went into this saying defensive line is the most important. It's the priority. We can't get enough great defensive linemen. So what changed this season where you basically have left yourself bare except for Nick Bosa? That's a question I'd like to have them answer. I just want to hear what the tone of voice is. You know, what the, you know, are they defensive about it? Are they saying, no, we had to do it this way. It's just such a change. It's such a change from a team that just kept adding defensive linemen, keep adding defensive linemen. And now to the point where we're trying to figure out who's going to play. That's a remarkable situation for me. So do that for me if you could, Barros.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I will. I'll tell Shanahan. This is the Tim Kawakami.
He'll know.
And then I'll point at him. First of all, Tim says that you don't pay attention to special teams. And then the second part of the question.
He asked me, like, can you come up with proof that I don't care? I'll also say there's more. Tim has more evidence that you don't care about special teams. He put me on the spot, and I did come up with an answer, but there's many more I could have. Yeah, I mean, and listen, it's a super important draft. There's going to be plenty of time to talk about it. You can't talk enough about how important this draft is. If they hit on it, I think they're going to have to do better than they did last year, which was very good. I always give them credit for that. They could do better. They're going to need instant impact. They're going to need starters. They're going to need guys who are versatile and stay healthy and just give them downs and make plays. Those are hard to do. If they get them, I'm going to give them full credit for it. But they didn't get their number one pick last year, you know, through no fault of his own, did not play very much. 31st pick, you know, they're going to have 11, but, you know, every other pick after that is going to be later than 31st. So we'll see if they can pull this off.
They used a second round pick on a defensive end 2 years ago.
Yes.
He's basically delivered very little and might not play this season or ever again.
I don't think he's playing.
Trouble with the quadriceps. Yeah.
The old Drake Jackson there.
Yeah.
Brandon Ayuk, I know there is an option payment due fairly soon. What What do you think that, where is that headed? I now think they might trade him just to hell with it, just so, to get out of that option payment, to get out of the millions of dollars. It would be a massive dead cap hit, but I don't seem to care about that. Where are you on the Ayuk situation?
I mean, I just don't think that they're going to get anything of value for him. I mean, maybe you're right. It would follow the theme of this offseason, but that would be hard to do everything that you did last year with him and just get, what, a third-round pick? A fourth-round pick? I don't know. You know, they treasure these draft picks. And Tim, they're going to get some comp picks coming.
Oh, the comp picks.
But I asked Lynch today. He had mentioned something about Ayuk having a big milestone coming up as far as going back down to L.A. and having Neil Eletrosh, you know, test the knee to see where he is. That still hasn't happened yet. So, you know, I think it'd be easier to trade before April 1 if Eletrosh comes back with just a glowing report about how he's doing. And I think the 49ers are expecting that to be the case, but it hasn't happened yet. So, again, the 49ers could certainly let him go before April 1, but I doubt that there'd be a trade before April 1.
If they let him go just to get out of that money, one of those two is going to have something to write. I'll tell you that. Is going to have maybe two or three things to write. We haven't talked about Juszczyk coming back was a while ago, but, you know, listen, it makes sense. Like he should be on the 49ers. That's the right spot for him. There isn't another perfect spot. Other teams have fullbacks, but they were pretty much, as you noted, like other teams had already replaced their fullbacks, had new fullbacks. The money thing was a weird thing because they took a dead cap hit by cutting him, and then they guarantee more. I know it's a lower base salary, but I don't think they gain anything on the cap by this. I think they're hurt by this by having to take the dead cap, and they guaranteeing him more money. I still don't understand, other than maybe some sense pervaded, and they, you know what, we shouldn't have cut him. We should have just brought him back. I think that's what has to happen, or else why cut him? Why not just, or I guess maybe let him see the market, but then you guaranteed him more than he was guaranteed before you cut him. So that part I don't quite understand. But he's back. He should be back. He should be on this team.
Yes. I mean, I think it exactly what you said. I mean, it was such a bad week that I think the 49ers decided, okay, this is worth doing. You know, and John Lynch today mentioned wanting to get him on the 10-year wall. He would have to be here this season and next season for him to do that. You know, it's a good story, and you know, he plays a lot of snaps and he's still good. That was Juszczyk's point all along. I think that the Lions, the Steelers, and the Raiders all were interested in him. The Steelers and the Raiders had legitimate interest in him. And I thought that was interesting that Pete Carroll, who played against Juszczyk all those years, defensive-minded head coach who played against Juszczyk in Seattle all those years, and Mike Tomlin, defensive-minded head coach who played against Juszczyk all those years when he was in Baltimore, both really liked him and wanted to sign him. You know, not to the degree that would sway Juszczyk, but I thought that was an interesting wrinkle in that development.
He's still pretty good. Like, you know, you look at his age, he still makes plays. He's still a very good pass catcher. He's a blocker, not a great runner, but he never was a runner. This is not what he is. So, you know, unless they were going Tyler Warren, I didn't see how they were going to get better there. They would just have another position they'd have to fill, and a relatively tough one. They've tried, right? Hocut, wasn't that? Was Hocut and, you know, the other guys they were trying to?
Yeah. Fresno State, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's hard to do. Like, this is a very specialized position. All right. And any sense from Lynch about Brock Purdy's contract?
No, he would not talk about that, only to say that Brock Purdy is still, you know, coming by to work out all the time. But, you know, he referenced the big things coming up that we have to prepare for. And Brock Purdy is at the front of that list. And I think Kittle and Warner deals coming down the pike, I don't know when, if it's this year or next year, are part of that. So this is what they're preparing for. They're freeing up cash for next season. I imagine that the Juszczyk deal did that to some degree.
A little bit.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing. Freeing up things in 26, in 27, in 28, when they've got these other big ones coming down the pike. The other interesting thing, I thought, Lynch went to Eugene on Tuesday And not only was it Lynch, but it was Lynch and, you know, his top lieutenants in the front office. And they had dinner with the Oregon head coach, Lanning. So, I mean, Oregon's just chock full of prospects this year. And one of them is Derek Harmon, defensive tackle. And he, I think he's a possibility at number 11. They've got that big nose tackle I just described. I can't remember his name, Jamari something. They've got one of the few sort of weak side linebackers in this draft, Jeffrey Bossa. So I guarantee you those names were discussed at some point with Dan Lanning, the head coach of Oregon.
They got any good special teamers? It's about special teams, Barris. Like you got to have a special team. Kicker? Do they have a kicker? By the,
no, I was watching the San Jose State kicker kick today. He was bombing them from deep.
Well, there we go. There's your draft crush. We heard it early. He's gonna have
I think I figured it out.
You know, Kyle, are you thinking about maybe this time use a second round pick on a kicker? Like, I mean, you know, third round pick was okay, but maybe you ought to up that up. Get that second round pick for a kicker.
And Nick Nash, the San Jose State wide receiver, I asked, you know, who would you say is your comp in the NFL? Puka Nacua.
Yeah, that's not a bad one.
I am connecting dots here. This is, you're going to go full Rams, then you're going to take the next Puka Nacua in the fifth round.
Who's the next Jared Verse? Who's the next
The Rams did that over two seasons. The 49ers have to do it all.
It's very easy to do. So, I mean, you know, you just snap your finger. Everyone else is not allowed to pick the players you like because that's the draft. You only get the players that you want and everyone else has to pass.
Kim, when they make a 30 for 30 about this year's draft and how awesome it was, this is going to be in it. And all your naysaying is going to be like in the first half of the
of you know what? It's not going to be 30 for 30. It's going to be 11 for 11. Who's a novelist here? Who's a novelist here and who's just a wisecracker?
Yeah. You want to ghostwrite the next one? That'd be great.
Right. God. All right, everybody. That's it for a few weeks. We will be back live. I think Barris will be in Florida the next time. Who knows what your schedule is, but hopefully we can do it off of the Kyle Shanahan conversation, the Lynch conversation, the Jed York conversation, somewhere in there, because it's going to be really interesting. That's going to be a very anticipated event, and I am going to be wanting to hear all about it, Barris.
Well, York will be in ritzy Palm Beach, and I'll be in trashy Boynton Beach.
No, you'll be talking to him in Palm Beach, though.
I'll be 25 miles down.
You will drive back from talking to him in the ritzy to talk to us from Boynton, but that's the way it goes. He will not be joining you in Boynton Beach for a conversation. I'm pretty sure about that. So, it'll be news. It'll be
news. No one would find him out. No one would be suspecting him there.
And I wouldn't, if I was him, I wouldn't take a walk from a bus station, if you know what I mean, into the swamp. That's a whole Muddy the Waters.
Yes, that's there. Right. A lot of alligators down there. Yep.
All right, Barris. We will talk soon. See you.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.